I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, just 1 week out from the November 5th general election, we learn more about changes made this year to Washington's voting system. They were mandated by the legislature as a way to make the state system more secure. The changes move the state from 39 individual county election systems to one overseen by the state. A few days ago, Washington's top election official, Secretary of State Kim Wyman, stopped by our studio to talk about the changes.
So when I first came into office in 2013, I knew that the counties and our two statewide systems had computer systems that were 10 years old at that time, and that we needed to replace them. And it was a tough road to walk because I knew we needed to do it, but we couldn't be too vocal about how old the technology was. So we have been in a really great partnership with our county election officials, county auditors, and election directors, building a system that really integrates our voter registration and election management system. So essentially, we put 41 computer systems into a single one, and that's really helping us do same-day registration and have much better communication and cleaner rolls and more accessible roles for our voters.
So did it take a lot of extra money to bring, 39 different election systems into one?
It did. One of the other challenges that I knew we had back in 2013 was the counties didn't have money to replace their existing equipment. And so I knew if we kind of pooled our resources, we could get a better economy of scale. So we spent about $9.5 million statewide on this new replacement system called VoteWa, and brought it up in May and used it in the primary in August. And this is the first statewide election we've done. We've had a few bumps here and there, but overall, the security of the system is far greater than what we had before in individual counties and at the state. And so that part has really positioned us to be ready for the cybersecurity issues that have come up in the last 3 years.
So help me to understand the security. Where are the vulnerabilities in that old system, and how did you shore them up?
Well, probably the first thing that we did, which is a huge step forward, is we now have multi-factor authentication, meaning if a person logs into our system, they have to be on a computer that we know already in advance, and they have a code sent to them on a special key that gets them in. And so this is the first line of defense that none of the counties had, to my knowledge, and that our state system didn't have. So right now, the people getting into our system have to be known to us. The second layer is we were really able to beef up our firewall, not only around the state system, but in all 39 counties' election systems. And then finally, now we have a lot more detection software and reporting software that is being monitoring the systems and reporting it not only to our people in our security center, but at a nationwide level. So we're getting great data that's helping us prevent intrusions.
Explain for me, what are some of the changes in terms of when people can register and all of that?
The biggest change now is we have same-day registration. So that means that voters can walk into their election office up till 8 o'clock on election night and register and vote. I would encourage people right now to go online and check their status. What we find is most people are registered. They've just moved since the last time they voted. So we're really trying an effort to get people to check now, update your registration. So now is a really good time. And if you change your address, the county will send you an updated ballot materials.
I know there are things called voter service centers, and we have one here in Spokane. What's a voter service center?
This is where the county election officials open a satellite office, or, it might be at a public library. It might be at a service center. And this is where voters can go in and get a replacement ballot or update the registration and get the right materials to vote.
Does your office get calls from folks who want you to help them explain what's on the ballot? And I'm thinking in particular about the 12 advisory votes that we have on the statewide ballot.
Absolutely.
What's that all about?
That's one of the most difficult ones to explain to a voter. It is the result of the initiative a number of years ago that I believe Tim Eyman had, where they had a requirement of 2/3 vote of the legislature to add a tax. Of course, the court threw that out. But there was a part of that initiative that did have this advisory vote where people could weigh in. So the legislature passed this law that increased the tax or fee. Do you think it should be continue or not. The problem is they're not binding. So even if the voters say, yes, reject that new tax, there's no impetus for the legislature other than the input to make any changes.
So what's the impetus for a voter to even spend the time thinking about, you know, whether or not I should vote yes or no when it's really just a, you know, it's just a beauty contest?
Well, there are differing opinions on the advisory votes. There are many people that believe that at least having that voice is a good thing, and that they're heard. And voters feel good about that, and so they go ahead and weigh in. The other side of that is, you know, it is an expense that is in our voters' pamphlet. We had to add a number of pages, and it did increase the cost. And so, I mean, there's two sides of it. There's some people that think it's a waste of time and money, and I can tell you I've heard from a lot of voters that feel like this gives me a voice to share with the legislature that I don't agree with it. So, again, this is a legislative issue, and if the legislature wants to get rid of those, they have that opportunity.
So as we get past this election, we head into 2020, another presidential election. Do you anticipate you're going to get more calls from people saying, is my vote secure?
Oh, absolutely. I think, especially with all of the coverage nationally and even locally on cybersecurity, people are worried. And I think that what's great about our state is we are well ahead of most of the other states. And I don't want to throw that red flag out for hackers because you don't want to say we're really secure, but we are. I think the strongest thing with our system is we have paper ballots. And the tabulation systems, the systems that count your ballot, are not connected to the internet. And that's just been a best practice in our state for, you know, at least the last 25 years or so. So, you know, we have those security measures, and then our VoteWA system now protects the voter registration side. So we have a great partnership with our 39 counties. And we are all in this together, and we're working to stay strong. I think the Douglas County incident really points to it's not just cybersecurity threats. The security threats come from multiple different avenues, and we have bad actors here in our state. We have bad actors in other countries. And so it's an effort that is something where all of our partners have to work together to be strong and protect our election system, and we're doing that every day, and it's a really positive thing.
Has vote by mail worked well? I mean, if you had the chance to go back to the old system, as someone who's been in this business for a while, which is better for the public?
I think it varies state by state, because there are certainly some states where vote by mail I don't think would be a good thing. But in Washington state, voters moved to that on their own. We started allowing people to have permanent absentee status in 1993. And, you know, by the mid-90s, 60% of our voters in some counties were voting by mail anyway. So a good thing. It was the hardest decision I made as county auditor to move to vote by mail, and it was the best one because when you look back at Rossi Gregoire, for example, which was really the tipping point in our state.
That was what year? That was 2008?
That was 2004.
2004. The governor's race, it was very tight. Yeah.
Yes. And we had a lot of problems. We had a lot of issues that came up. And the problem was we were running two elections at once, a poll site election and a vote by mail election. And being able to just focus all of the resources on a single election has made the system more secure, more accessible, and it has also allowed us to have better trained employees and people that are handling your ballot and making sure that we have consistency across all 39 counties. So I look at other states that are doing absentee voting, in-person voting, and early voting in vote centers, and they're kind of set up to fail because it's just too many things that you have to do right and well and perfectly, and it's difficult. But no, vote by mail. I know a lot of people still are frustrated by vote by mail, but remember back in 2004, my county, my average age of a poll worker was over 70. We had a lot of places that wouldn't let us come in and have polling places, like schools, for security reasons. We were asking people to go into places of worship to cast their ballot, and that was offensive to some people. So it was getting harder and harder to maintain polls. And then we asked people to work a 16-hour day and be perfect, and it just really is difficult.
So as you continue to evolve in this system, are there still things that need to be done? And maybe things that you can't do, but the legislature needs to authorize that you still think can be improvements to what you've got now?
Oh, it's always constant improvement in our world. I think right now we're still settling into our new VoteWa system, the voter registration system, and really kind of optimizing that. And, you know, I think this next election is going to help us do that and make some great strides forward. Beyond that, in the upcoming legislative session, one of the bills I'm planning on working with the legislature on is actually rolling back our military and overseas ballots coming back by email or fax. And this is a very important piece for those folks that are in the middle of, say, Africa on a Peace Corps mission or, you know, are serving in the military. There are places where it's difficult to get a ballot back to us in 45 days. With that said, the cybersecurity risks, and I've been told by our own National Guard that we have with a vote by mail, an email or fax-backed ballot are really great. They're real. And we really do need to shore that up because right now in state law, they're allowed to return that ballot. So that's going to be probably the biggest ask I have from a cyber front. And then really it's just settling into same day registration, automatic registration, and future voter laws that were passed in 2019 or passed in 18 and went into effect this year. We're really kind of just fine tuning again the processes on the back end to make sure that they're accessible and secure.
So something that came up in the last couple of years is essentially taxpayer paid return your ballots and you don't have to put the stamp on that. Is that here to stay, do you think?
I believe so, yes. It really started when King County in 2008 wanted to do prepaid postage. And I said, that's wonderful, but if we're going to do it for one county, we need to do it statewide. And so I worked with the governor's office and we came up with the funding to take care of that in 2008. The legislature passed the funding this year. And I think now you've given it to voters. I don't think we're going to go back.
Kim Wyman is Washington's Secretary of State, the top elections official in the state. The general election is November 5th. If you don't yet have your ballot or you need to report an address change, call or visit your county elections office. You can register to vote every day until then and still cast your ballot. Inland Journal is Spokane Public Radio's public affairs podcast and radio program. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play, or hear it at the Spokane Public Radio website. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. I thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.